Welcome to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top trending stories from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2026, which means we are covering the absolute best stories that hit the front page yesterday, August 2nd. Welcome to episode number 476.
We have a really fascinating lineup for you today, Mike. We are going to be talking about Andre Kropathy pushing the limits of the new Opus 5 model, a massive $56 million payout over a completely wild eBay harassment campaign, the Wikimedia Foundation getting into hot water over union busting, a look at what is new in Go 1.27, and a really inspiring show HN from a 15-year-old engineer.
Let us kick things off with that first story about Andre Kropathy. The post is titled Kropathy's Pelican, and it got over 530 points. If you have been following the AI space, you know the pelican on a bicycle prompt has been a classic benchmark for testing image generation and spatial reasoning. But Kropathy is pointing out that we are moving way beyond just asking an LLM to generate an SVG of a pelican.
Right. To really test the new Opus 5 model, Kropathy gave it the first paragraph of The Lord of the Rings, a 1 million token budget, which he noted costs about $10, and asked it to write a 3JS render of the scene. He said Opus went off for about 2 hours and wrote 5,500 lines of code that procedurally rendered the story.
That is incredible. He admitted the result is a bit janky, but it is mind-boggling that the model can place and orchestrate various polygon assets in three-dimensional space and write the code to animate it all. He made a really profound point about how LLMs have all the stamina and patience in the world. No human developer in their right mind would spend hours hand-coding a hyper-custom, disposable 3D scene like that. But with AI, we go from nobody would ever do this to, sure, why not? It's practically free.
He even mentioned the idea of creating an ephemeral Grand Theft Auto-style game on demand, just dropping players into hyper-custom worlds. But he also pointed out a current weakness. These models cannot easily audit their own work because they do not natively perceive video or play the games they build. Opus 5 had to slowly take screenshots at different points to check its work, which led to some mistakes.
The Hacker News comments on this were gold. One commenter brought up the Will Smith eating spaghetti AI video from a couple of years ago, comparing it to where we are now with 3D generation. The spaghetti video was nightmare fuel back then, but now AI video is nearly indistinguishable from reality. The feeling is that these wonky, janky 3D renders are just the new Will Smith spaghetti. Give it a year or two and the jank will be gone.
I loved the comment from someone who explained AI to their elderly mother by comparing it to an alien intelligence on a distant planet. It has read every book on Earth, but it cannot directly observe our physical world. It only has our judgment to work with. When you look at it that way, the fluttering cubes that were supposed to be butterflies in the Lord of the Rings render are actually kind of charming. It is like a child's incomplete understanding of the world.
Speaking of understanding the physical world, let us move from software to hardware. We had a fantastic show HN yesterday titled, I am a 15-year-old wannabe engineer. This is a cycloidal gearbox I built. It pulled in over 320 points.
This was so cool. This 15-year-old built a 3D printed cycloidal gearbox. For those who might not know, a cycloidal drive is a type of gearbox that sacrifices rotational speed for a massive increase in torque, and they are known for having very low backlash. They are super popular in robotics.
What really impressed me was the process. He didn't just download a file and print it. He wrote a Python script based on a SolidWorks engineering article to generate the parametric equations for the gears, and then ran that script in Fusion 360 to generate the CAD models. He went through three different versions. The first was a hand-cranked test, the second was too small and failed due to 3D printing tolerances, and the third was a fully functional version that runs on a NEMA 17 stepper motor with a 1-to-9 gear ratio.
The Hacker News community absolutely rallied around this kid. The top comments were all telling him to drop the word wannabe from his title. One user said, any project that involves hardware or physical objects, especially ones you are manufacturing, is impressive. You are already an engineer.
There was a really interesting philosophical debate in the comments about what actually makes someone an engineer. Some people argue that in places like Canada or the US, being a professional engineer is a protected legal title, much like being a doctor or a lawyer. But the consensus in the tech world is that if you are doing the math, writing the code, dealing with tolerances, and building a physical mechanism that works, you are an engineer, period.
It is so true. Someone even pointed out that adult engineers are often pretty bad at documenting their work, but this kid provided a full GitHub repo, documentation, performance stats, and a breakdown of the math. It is just stellar work all around.
From a 15-year-old building hardware, let us pivot to some hardcore software news. The Go 1.27 interactive tour hit the front page with 350 points.
Yes, Go 1.27 is coming soon, and the community is getting a hands-on look at the new features. A quick shout-out is due here. Anton Julianov used to write these interactive tours for every Go release, but he stepped down, and Jesus Espino has picked up the torch. It is a great resource, because reading official release notes can be pretty dry.
The absolute headline feature for Go 1.27 is generic methods. Finally, a method declaration can declare its own type parameters independent of the receiver. Before this, only top-level functions could be generic. So if you had a generic container and wanted a map operation that changed the element type, you had to write it as a package-level function. Now it can just be a method.
Though they did note one restriction. Interfaces still cannot declare type parameterized methods, and a generic method cannot be used to satisfy an interface. If you try, the compiler will stop you.
There are some other great quality of life improvements too. Struct literal field selectors now let you set a promoted field from an embedded struct directly without spelling out the embedded type. And the compiler now generates calls to size-specialized memory allocation routines. For small allocations under 80 bytes, it cuts the cost by up to 30%. You do not even have to change your code. It just runs faster.
I was also really interested in the Go routine leak profile. In Go 1.26, they introduced a leak detector as an experiment, but now it has graduated to a regular profile. It runs a garbage collection cycle to find Go routines that are permanently blocked, like a Go routine waiting on a channel that no one will ever receive from, and it reports their stacks. That is going to save developers so many hours of debugging.
Absolutely. All right, Sarah, let's move on to a story that generated a lot of heat in the comments. The Wikimedia Foundation is refusing union recognition and has hired a union-busting law firm. This post got 330 points.
This is a messy situation. In July, Wiki Workers United demanded voluntary recognition as a union from the Wikimedia Foundation. The foundation did not respond by the deadline and instead published a statement declining voluntary recognition. They said they believe a secret ballot election conducted by the National Labor Release Board is the appropriate path forward.
The controversy really sparked because the foundation hired Lidler Mendelsohn, which is a law firm very well known for aggressive union busting. The community response has been mostly dismay. People are worried the foundation will use the time before the secret ballot to discourage employees from unionizing. There are already community petitions on MetaWiki with hundreds of signatures demanding the board recognize the union.
Jimmy Wales actually chimed in on the Wikimedia mailing list. He defended the secret ballot, saying that the card check process the union used was not secret, and he heard from some staff members who felt pressured by organizers. He argued that a secret ballot protects workers from peer pressure and gives them a clean choice. The union, on the other hand, called the foundation's stance disingenuous and accused them of stalling to launch an anti-union campaign.
The Hacker News comments took this in a very interesting direction. A lot of users started scrutinizing the Wikimedia Foundation's budget and their donation banners. We have all seen those banners that make it sound like Wikipedia is on the verge of going offline if you do not donate the price of a cup of coffee.
Right. And commenters pointed out that keeping Wikipedia online is actually a relatively small fraction of their $240 million budget. A lot of the money goes to a wide splatter of projects, like funding photographers to go to the FIFA World Cup to take public domain portraits, or the Knowledge Equity Fund.
Exactly. Some users felt the donation ads are deceptive because they imply existential dread for the servers, when in reality, the foundation is funding massive global initiatives. One user said, "Do not donate to Wikipedia. Donate to the Internet Archive." It is a tough look for the foundation, balancing their massive budget, community trust, and now a very public labor dispute.
It really is. And speaking of corporate drama, our final story today is incredibly dark. The headline is, "Crush This Lady: How eBay Harassment Campaign Led to a $56 Million Payout."
This story is just unhinged. A newsletter publisher who wrote critically about eBay was targeted by a harassment campaign orchestrated by eBay's global security team. We are talking about them mailing live spiders, cockroaches, and even a pig fetus to her house. They sent her books on surviving the loss of a spouse, It was psychological torture.
The victims eventually sued and just reached a $56 million settlement. But the part that really got Hacker News talking was the criminal fallout. Several members of the security team went to federal prison. Jim Baugh, the former senior director of safety and security, was sentenced to 57 months. Others got anywhere from 12 to 24 months.
But the executives at the very top, including the CEO at the time, Devin Wenig, faced no criminal charges. Wenig had texted another executive saying it was time to take down the newsletter publisher and use the phrase, "crush this lady." He resigned from eBay with a massive exit package and has denied directing any of the harassment.
The comments were furious about this. One user pointed out the hypocrisy of executives justifying their massive salaries by claiming they hold all the responsibility. But when crimes are committed under their direct leadership, only the lower-level employees go to prison.
Somebody brought up the historical quote, "Will no one rid me of this turbulent priest?" It is the classic mafia boss defense. The boss says something vague but menacing, the underlings take it upon themselves to do the dirty work, and the boss gets to keep their hands clean legally because they never explicitly ordered a crime.
Another commenter shared a personal story about a manager asking them to commit code that broke the law. The commenter refused and threatened to go to legal, and the manager backed down. It was a stark reminder that setting the culture comes from the top, and when the brass tells people to do whatever it takes to protect the company, things can spiral into actual criminality very quickly.
It is a wild story and a massive black eye for eBay's corporate history. It just goes to show how toxic corporate security culture can get when it operates without oversight or a moral compass.
That is incredibly well said, Mike. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. From AI generating 3D hobbits to 15-year-olds building gearboxes and some serious corporate accountability stories, it has been a packed day.
It sure has. Thank you all so much for tuning in to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or a coworker. We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top stories from Hacker News.
Have a great day, everyone. Keep building, and we will see you tomorrow.